You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The FWA podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the latest edition of the FWA podcast here with William Hill, Dave Callum in the studio, and each and every week we get one of the best sports writers in the land to preview the football. And this week we have the Executive Secretary of the FWA, Paul McCarthy, with us to preview the third round of the FA Cup. We're going to spin through the televised games involving the Premier League sides. But first of all, a warm welcome to Paul, who's on the line now. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Hi, Dave, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. How are you doing?
Yeah, very well. Very well indeed. Looking forward to the FA Cup. It's I know everybody decries it and says it plays second fiddle to sort of the Premier League and the Champions League and even Europa League these days. But I still think it's a fantastic competition. I still think that there is a real longing for it. And I think if you compare it to other competitions, FA Cup competitions around Europe, you know, the crowds that it gets and the interest it gets is, incomparable, especially with the likes of Spain and Italy. They struggle to find the same degree of interest, I think, as we do over here.
People still reference that year Manchester United decided not to participate as maybe a turning point for the FA Cup. And
I think that was a huge mistake. But I still think that, you know, you look at every single year, and every single year there's a fantastic story out of it, more than one on most occasions.
Let's hope there's one this year. And we start with the match on Friday night, in fact, West Ham versus Manchester City, which is one of the ties of the round, undoubtedly. It's available on William Hill TV as well, if you logged into your account, so you can watch this game on the William Hill website. West Ham versus Manchester City, Friday, 7:55. West Ham 9-2 to win the match. The draw 14-5. Manchester City 4-6. Actually, want to start here with the last match at the London Stadium, which was the clash against the other Manchester club, Manchester United, and Mike Dean was in the headlines yet again. Paul, for his decision to send off Sofyan Feghouli in that encounter, and West Ham eventually fell to Manchester United 2-0. But that was a big moment in the match, and Sofyan Feghouli's red card has subsequently been rescinded. Referees in the headlines at the moment, Paul.
Yeah, I watched the game as a West Ham fan. I was pretty outraged at the decision to send Feghouli off. And I think for the criticism that Mike Dean received for that decision was justified. You know, as we've seen now, the FA have overturned, as you say, Dave, and rescinded that red card. What I didn't agree with was the claims that Mike Dean wants to be the centre of attention. Listen, however much of an egotist you are, and amongst the refereeing fraternity, egos are commonplace. I still don't think that any referee goes out to be the centre of attention. I think Gary Neville called it right, in as much as he said that once he made that decision, you realised he was all over the place, Mike Dean. And listen, he wasn't helped by his linesman either, were they? Because it was only the three Manchester United players offside when they got their second goal. So all in all, a really bad day for the officials. But I don't agree with the criticism that says Mike Dean has to be or goes out to try and be centre of attention. Unfortunately, some of the decisions he's made has put him centre of attention. But Monday night was a very, very bad one, and very disappointing for West Ham, because I felt they turned a corner recently after a very unsteady start to the season, and for the first 15 minutes before the red card, they looked like they were bossing that match. And you hope that Slaven Bilic can turn to his players and say, listen, look at the way we played the first 15-20 minutes or so, and send them out with that in that frame of mind for Manchester City.
Will Bilic send out a strong team then? Will this be the starter or the full 11 that you'd expect to see in a Premier League match?
I think he'll make some changes. I think that perhaps a couple of the fringe younger players might get an opportunity, because you do have to mix and match. And you know, it's been a tough Christmas period for all the clubs. And I think at the bottom of the table, they might be looking to preserve a few of the bigger names, if you like. But I still think whoever he puts out, you know, will hopefully respond and rise to the occasion.
Is it a good time to be meeting Manchester City, because Pep Guardiola bristled at the interviewer after that result against Burnley, even though they won the match, and he's clearly feeling like the media are getting on his back, on his players' back, and he's been quite sharp with interviewers.
Churlish is the word, Dave, and I think it's ill befitting. Martin Samuel wrote a very good column this week about the churlishness of Pep Guardiola. It's not a good look. I mean, the media are not against him. I mean, you have to just read the paeans of praise to him, not just when he's been Manchester City manager, but when he's been at Barcelona or Bayern Munich. You know, this is a man who has reinvented the face of football in the modern era. And when they were winning, I think they went 10 unbeaten, didn't they, at the start of the season, people were singing his praises. But when they've got the worst disciplinary or amongst the worst disciplinary records in the Premier League, you know, when a player has just been sent off, I think, for the third time this season, when they're not playing the kind of football that you know, we expect from Manchester City, and that we certainly saw against Manchester City. I remember the first half of the Manchester derby, I thought City played some of the best football that I've seen since the Arsenal Invincibles team. I think you have to bear in mind that Pep Guardiola is going to be at the centre of every attention, and that you know, he'll have to get used to this. Listen, the bottom line was there wasn't that much criticism of him when he was in Spain or Germany, basically because he was winning every match and playing a brand of football which was fantastic. And while there have been extended glimpses and flashes of the football that Barcelona and Bayern Munich became famous for, he's not been able to maintain that for a consistent period at Manchester City, and that's why there is he is under the microscope.
What's the prediction for this match, Paul?
You know, I think this may be my claret and blue heart speaking, but I've got a feeling for West Ham 1-0.
I have as well, 9-2 West Ham to win that game. If you think West Ham are going to win it by a goal to nil, that's available at 16-1. The lunchtime kickoff on Saturday is Manchester United versus Reading at Old Trafford. Manchester United are 1-4 to win this match. The draw 11-2 with Reading in the betting at 10-1. A couple of enhanced odds offers. Marcus Rashford to score and Manchester United to win was 10-11, now 11-10. And Gareth McCleary to score and Reading to win was 11-2, now 7-1. United overwhelming favourites here, Paul. But Reading going well in the Championship, third in the Championship. Yeah. And Yap Stam going back to his former club.
Back to Old Trafford.
Yeah, it should be a good match, this one.
You know, you talk to many Manchester United fans and they think one of the very few mistakes Sir Alex Ferguson, made during his tenure at Old Trafford was letting Yap Stam go too quickly. I think he was a fantastic defender, one of the best centre-halves I've seen in the Premier League. And he's actually got Reading playing a really good, open, attacking style of football. It's the local club to me, actually. It's only just 10 minutes up the road. And I speak to a lot of Reading fans, and they really, really like the way that Yap Stam has got them playing. I think earlier in the season, they were very open, and they conceded a lot of goals. This time around, it looks like he's tightened things up. I think it would be fantastic for him, but I don't think there's going to be any glory for Reading. I see United, you know, Mourinho needs to get a trophy under his belt with United. You look at him in his early days at Chelsea. He went out of his way to get a trophy early on in the first season. You know, they've got that opportunity in both the cup competitions, and I think I think it's a 3-0 to United for me.
3-0 to Manchester United is 6-1. Sir Alex Ferguson's mistakes were few and far between. You mentioned letting Yap Stam go maybe slightly early in his career. Same could possibly be said about Paul Pogba as well, because he's starting to click into top gear now.
Yeah, he's taken a little bit of time to assimilate himself into the Premier League. He kind of didn't really know what he was. Was he a controlling midfield player? Was he an attacking midfield player? You know, he was neither fish nor fowl. But it looks like he is, as you say, clicking into gear, Dave. And I think he's a magnificent player. I think he's taken a little while, surprisingly, to find his feet. But he's got half a season under his belt. And I think his understanding with Zlatan now is beginning to reap the rewards for United.
Preston North End versus Arsenal is the tea time kickoff, 5:30. Preston North End are 13-2 to win it here with William Hill. The draw 18-5 with Arsenal in the betting at 4-9. Arsenal coming into this on the back of that 3-3 draw at the Vitality Stadium, where they trailed 3-0 in that game, snatched a late point to Olivier Giroud. Are we seeing the same old Arsenal, though? Is that a game that if they're going to be champions, they need to win? And coming back to draw that game, it clearly annoyed Alexis Sanchez, Paul, that some of his teammates were celebrating the point, whereas he thinks, yeah, this is a chance, we should be getting all three here.
Yeah, understandably so. It was the equivalent of the selfie in the dressing room, that celebration, wasn't it, at 3-3?
Yeah.
Go out, win the game, then celebrate, then take your selfies, then do what you like. But it's the same kind of weakness that we've seen probably from the last 10 years of Arsenal. I mean, ironically, the FA Cup has been their salvation, certainly been Arsene Wenger's salvation, because without the FA Cup victories, then I don't think Wenger would still be in the job. This time around, it depends what team Wenger puts out. If he tries to protect a few of the star players, the likes of be it Sanchez, be it Ozil, be whoever it is, I think then Preston, you know, could be in with a sniff. If they actually go out and take it seriously, and Wenger thinks, listen, we need to, you know, again, I need to get a trophy to keep the critics off my back, then I think Arsenal win comfortably. It depends what sort of team he puts out. I think Arsenal will probably just have a bit too much, but it wouldn't surprise me if this went to if this was a draw and a replay.
You say the critics as well, Paul. It won't satisfy Arsenal fans if they end up with the FA Cup and even maybe finish outside the top four this season.
Well, and also given the way that Spurs played against Chelsea this week, you know, you think Spurs are a real force, and then you look at the top four, and you think Chelsea, yes, despite the setback at White Hart Lane, you know, are going to be there. Manchester City and Liverpool are going to be there. Spurs, you figure, are going to be there with the way they're playing, and they're young and they're vibrant and they're attacking. Arsenal, yeah, could miss out. If Arsenal miss out and only win the FA Cup, I think that is a disastrous season for Arsene Wenger.
Do you think Eddie Howe might be next in line for the Arsenal job?
Well, he's certainly got all the credentials. His team go 3 up and then disappoint and draw 3-3. So yeah, he's got the perfect he's the perfect candidate for Arsenal.
Liverpool versus Plymouth is next. Liverpool 1-6 to win the match. They draw 6-1 with Plymouth in the betting at 16-1. Liverpool's title prospects were slightly dented with that 2-2 draw against Sunderland at the Stadium of Light. But Anfield's been a fortress this season, unbeaten in the league there. Yeah. And Jurgen Klopp he seems to be a wonderful manager.
And at home with the Anfield crowd at his back, Klopp seems to become even more inspirational. Yes, he's obviously an inspirational manager in every game, because you just look at what he achieved at Dortmund and what he's achieved thus far at Liverpool. But they seem to feed off each other. Klopp and the Anfield crowd, the Liverpool fans, they seem to feed off each other. And you know, some of the best nights I've ever been to have been at Anfield. And I just think that there's something special about Anfield at the moment. A lot of clubs suffer when they redevelop stands and it doesn't feel like the same atmosphere. Whoever's designed the new stand, has done a fantastic job, because it keeps the atmosphere in, just like the old Anfield did, if you like. And I just think it's a great place to watch football. It must be a fantastic place when you're successful to play football. I think Liverpool, even if they rest key players, will have far, far too much for Plymouth. I think it's a great day out for Plymouth. I think this is what you can you know, this is what the FA Cup does for teams like Plymouth. It allows them a glimpse of what might be, you know, in every fan's, every Plymouth Argyle fan's dreams. They'd be playing regularly at Anfield, but this just gives them a glimpse, and it gives the Plymouth Argyle players a rare opportunity to go out and play on a massive, massive stage. But I'm afraid Liverpool will have far too much for them. I think this could be, I think Liverpool might be kind and keep the score down to 3 or 4, but I think it's going to go that way.
Liverpool 3-0 is available at 11-2 here with William Hill. Liverpool 4-0 is 7-1. It's not just tactically either with Jurgen Klopp. He's clearly a deep-thinking manager. And there was a piece in the Telegraph, I think it was, about him appointing the first full-time nutritionist for Liverpool, Mona Nemmer, who was taken from Bayern Munich. And he thinks about everything, doesn't he, Jurgen Klopp? And he wants to build a legacy at Liverpool.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. I mean, the great managers haven't they? Shankly, Dalglish, Paisley. There is a legacy. There's a heritage there. And I think, you know, they've missed out on that recently. And to be fair, you know, Gerard Houllier did a great job, won all those cups in that one season. And Rafa Benitez, you know, nobody's ever going to forget Istanbul. But the bottom line is, there's been no what you would call an era of success for Liverpool for a long, long time, especially obviously in the Premier League. But I think Klopp is getting as close to anybody to repeating that kind of consistency and level of success.
Just away from this game momentarily, talking about Liverpool in terms of their title chances, are they 1 and 2 years away? Because just with Sadio Mane going to the African Cup of Nations, you look down the list, Philip Coutinho injured at the moment. Do they have that strength in depth quite yet?
Perhaps not. But having said that, you know, they've brought in some, you know, there's some fine players. I think Firmino has been a revelation this season. I think he is. I think he's shown the true quality that we expected. I just think that I think, you know, yes, Chelsea are incredibly consistent and have been incredibly consistent. Manchester City, you know, in glimpses we've seen some astonishing football played by them. But I think Liverpool are as exciting a team to watch as any in the country.
Tottenham versus Aston Villa is the final game of the FA Cup third round weekend. 4 p.m. kickoff this on Sunday. And Tottenham are 100-30 on to win this game. They draw 4-1. With Aston Villa, a big price at 10-1. Got a good record against Aston Villa. Tottenham down the years, they've lost.
Everybody's got a good record against Aston Villa recently, haven't they?
That's true. That's true. Spurs have lost just one of their last 16 against Villa, won 8 of the last 9. Is this going to be a comprehensive Spurs win? Do they pick up where they left off at White Hart Lane against Chelsea? That was an incredible performance.
I thought they were outstanding last night. I thought they were utterly fantastic. I think, you know, they matched Chelsea in terms of defensive tenacity. You know, I think Alderweireld is developing into one of the finest defenders around in the Premier League. I bet they're glad that he's back and fit now. They're a different team when he plays. I think the understanding between Christian Eriksen and Dele Alli is obvious. They've got power in Wanyama in the side, and they've got Harry Kane. Harry Kane was very, very quiet against Chelsea, but you know he still is a striker that every Premier League manager I think would want in their team. So I think there is a depth there now. I think there's a real excitement and a buzz about this, and the youngest. I think, aren't they on average the youngest team in the Premier League as well? And I think Pochettino has been outstanding. We saw him build and do a great job at Southampton, but he's almost taken a step up along with his players since he's joined Tottenham. I think he is he's going to be a truly great manager. Is he going to be a truly great manager at Tottenham? I think he's well on his way. I'm afraid I don't see Villa getting a sniff here. We keep saying this. There is such a depth now to the top Premier League teams that even if they rest a couple of key players, and Dele Alli went off, didn't he, with a knock towards the end of the Chelsea game. Even if he's rested, I still think I think Tottenham. Listen, it may not be a trounce thing, but I see them to win by 2 clear goals.
Tottenham minus one is 8-11. If you do think Tottenham are going to win by three or more, Tottenham minus two is in the betting at 2-1. It seemed like a stroke of genius for Mauricio Pochettino to mirror Chelsea's formation on Wednesday night, Paul, given that he doesn't typically play three at the back, but he allowed Rose and Walker either side to play as wing backs and then had his two holding midfielders. It was as if he said to his Spurs players, I know that man for man, you are better than that Chelsea side. Go out there and show it and beat them.
I think there was, I think there's a confidence surging through everybody at Tottenham. I think this is, it's going to be the last season at White Hart Lane as we know it. I think they want to go out on a high. And I just think that there's just a buzz about Tottenham at the moment. And listen, this sticks in my throat a little bit as a West Ham fan because they're our keenest rivals, if you will. But the bottom line is, you have to tip your hat to Pochettino. He's done a great job.
Paul, thank you for your company on this podcast.
Pleasure, Dave.
If you want to follow Paul on Twitter, it's at PaulMcCarthy66. You can follow myself at D. Kellner. Do check out all William Hill's on-demand audio at audioboom.com. Type in William Hill and go to sports.williamhill.com and click on the football page to check out all the odds ahead of the third round of the FA Cup. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back with more FWA podcast action next weekend.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.